Imagine you are walking in a thickly wooded forest on a dark night with no moon. Just ahead of you is an experienced guide with a lighted lantern. If you follow that light, you will be led safely out of the dark woods. But if you turn aside, even just one step or two, and hesitate, the light continues on out of your sight. Very quickly, you will not be able to see, and you will be lost. Spiritual deception works that way. It leads you into a world of darkness without the light of truth, God's eternal truth. How about you? Can you tell the difference between truth and error, light and dark? Don't be fooled. Deception wears a pretty dress, as we'll see in today's edition of Beyond Today.
Join our host, Darris McNeely, and his guests as they help you understand your future on Beyond Today.
Once long ago, an ancient religious leader described spiritual deception this way. He said, "Error is never set forth in its naked deformity, lest it should be at once detected. Error, that is, spiritual deception, is craftily decked out in an attractive dress to make it appear more true than the truth itself." How true? Our world today has so many forms of religion, philosophy, and personal belief. It's a literal cafeteria of ideas for the spiritual seeker to choose from. But are they all true? Does each offer some kind of truth that makes them valid? Is there any truth among all of the competing ideas? And when they are all considered, are we really any closer to grasping the real meaning of life? Do we know any more about what lies beyond today in the kingdom of God? You see, these are very important questions to ask and for you and I to consider. You're watching this program because you're looking for understanding in a world of spiritual confusion. Giving you the proper light and the guidance in this world of spiritual darkness is our mission. In this series of programs on Christ's Olivet Prophecy, we have come to where Jesus Christ warned against the spiritual deception that would increase after his death. In Matthew chapter 24, Christ and his disciples were in Jerusalem. They were looking at the temple buildings. They crossed the Kidron Valley. They climbed the Mount of Olives to the east. And they paused to ask how they would know the signs of Christ's coming and of the end of the age in Matthew chapter 24, verses 1 through 3. Jesus Christ gave his disciples four key signs beginning in verse 4 of Matthew 24. Let's read that. Open your Bibles and turn, if you will, to Matthew chapter 24. Beginning in verse 4, he answered and said to them, "Take heed that no one deceives you, for many will come in my name, saying, 'I am the Christ,' and will deceive many. And you will hear of wars and rumors of wars." So there are two signs. He went on to say, "See that you're not troubled, for all these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet. For nation will rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom, and there will be famines and pestilences and earthquakes in various places." So here, in a very short space, Christ gives an overview of trends and conditions from the very first century down until the very end of the age. Not the end of the world, but the end of the age. He talked about false religion. He talks about war. He talks about famine, and fourthly, he talks about disease epidemics. These would be a part of civilization down through human experience. In time, before the coming of Christ, they would set the stage for the fulfillment of other prophetic signs that would usher in Christ's return to earth as King of Kings. Now, with this prophecy, we have Christ's explanation of what he would later reveal to the Apostle John in a vision. You see, Matthew 24 and Revelation chapter 6 are parallel passages. If we turn over to Revelation chapter 6, we will see that. Again, just take your Bibles and turn over to Revelation chapter 6. We see in Revelation chapter 6 a continuation, and actually putting it in a little different terms and giving more detail, Jesus' description of these four signs that he gave in his Olivet prophecy. But here in Revelation chapter 6, verses 1 and 2, these signs are part of what sometimes are called the four horsemen of the apocalypse. Actually, they are the first four seals that begin to be opened in the story flow of the book of Revelation. And keep in mind, as we've discussed in other programs in this series, that Jesus Christ is the Revelator. What he said in Matthew 24 is paralleled in specifically Matthew or Revelation chapter 6, but the entire book of Revelation is really the revelation of Jesus Christ. So understand it from that perspective, and you realize that it is all one message from Jesus Christ as we move forward in this. But in Revelation chapter 6, verses 1 and 2, we see that the first seal is opened. And in verse 1, John sees the following. He says, "Now I saw when the Lamb opened one of the seals, and I heard one of the four living creatures saying with a voice like thunder, 'Come and see.' And I looked, and behold, a white horse. And he who sat on it had a bow, and a crown was given to him, and he went out conquering and to conquer." Now, this is the first horseman of the apocalypse, and it is a vision of a rider on a white horse. Now, some confuse this rider with Jesus Christ, who is also shown in Revelation chapter 19 to be riding a white horse at his second coming. But a very careful look shows important distinctions. You see, Christ is wearing in Revelation 19 many crowns, not just one. Instead of wielding a bow when he returns, Christ is brandishing a sword with which he strikes the nations. What we see in Revelation chapter 6 and verse 2 here is a very clever counterfeit, appearing to be like Christ, but very, very different as it goes out to conquer. Now, let's go back to Matthew chapter 24, and let's look again at what Jesus said in regard to this matter of deception, because this first sign of Matthew 24, as well as the first horseman of Revelation chapter 6, is really talking about spiritual deception in all of its different forms and all of the guises that would come from the time of Christ on forward until the end of the age. In Matthew 24, Jesus was concerned that, as he told them here, "Beware of those who come saying that I am the Christ and will deceive many." He said, "Many will come in my name, and they will deceive many," as they purport and pretend to have the message of Christ and to represent Jesus Christ. That's the primary meaning of this particular part of what Jesus is saying. But also, he is really speaking to a much, much larger matter of spiritual deception. And you see that throughout Matthew 24, and in several other places, Jesus comes back to the thought on the problem that would plague mankind of spiritual deception. Down in verse 11 of Matthew 24, he said, "Then many false prophets will rise up and deceive many." Again, he talks about a time and a period when there would be deception of people who claim to be able to foretell about life in the present and its purpose and its meaning, and about life in the future, and they would deceive many. He also talks about it down in verse 23 of Matthew 24. He said, "Then if anyone says to you, 'Look, here is the Christ,' or 'There,' do not believe it. For false Christs and false prophets will rise and show great signs and wonders to deceive, if possible, even the elect." And so again, in this prophecy, a great deal of attention is paid to spiritual deception. This is an important concept to understand and to realize in terms of what Jesus is doing. You see, it did not take long after Christ's death for a different gospel and message to invade the church, causing division and confusion. The apostles in the early church dealt with this problem, as we see through the many statements given to the church. We find that Paul warned the elders in Acts chapter 20, and he was talking to the church at Ephesus, and he said, "Beware of false teachers." He said, "Therefore, take heed to yourselves and to all the flock among which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers to shepherd the church of God, which he's purchased with his own blood. For I know that after my departure, savage wolves will come in among you, not sparing the flock. Also from among yourselves, men will rise up, speaking perverse things to draw away the disciples after themselves." Did you ever hear the phrase of a wolf in sheep's clothing? Well, that's where it came from, in Paul's warning to his own people there, of people who would come in to deceive. When we come to the very end of the first century, a few decades after Jesus' time, the Apostle John dealt with the brunt of the heresy and the persecution of the church. It was during the reign of the Roman Emperor Diocletian, which saw a tremendous strain of antagonism leashed upon Christians. And for a period, John himself was exiled on the island of Patmos, where he received the revelation from Jesus Christ that we read. The three epistles that bear the name of John show the tension in the churches and John's desire to warn the members of its devastating impact. He wrote of the individual responsibility to examine those teachers who presented themselves as spiritual guides and experts. John knew it was easy to claim divine authority and thereby deceive people into following ideas that were spiritually destructive. On one occasion he said, "Beloved, do not believe every spirit and test the spirits whether they are of God, because many false prophets have gone out into the world." That's very good advice that John gave then. It's good advice for you and I today to test the spirits. You see, what happened during that period of time is a great deal of deception that essentially changed the entire church that we see in the book of Acts and in the Bible. And years later, when we begin to see the church in history, the history outside of the Bible, we see a much different church. There's a very interesting quote from a church historian named Jesse Hurlbut. And the quote goes like this, and it gives us a very good picture of that time. Hurlbut said, "We name the last generation from 68 to 100 AD the age of shadows, partly because the gloom of persecution was over the church, but more especially because of all the periods in history, it is the one about which we know the least. For 50 years after St. Paul's life, a curtain hangs over the church through which we strive to look. And when at last it rises, about 120 AD, with the writings of the earliest church fathers, we find a church in many aspects very different from that in the days of St. Peter and St. Paul. More than two centuries of persecution and controversy radically transformed the church from the time of Jesus, the church we read about in the New Testament. Those calling themselves Christian compromised the faith, and they had to in order to survive. But the faith that was in the church at one point ultimately was merged and became something completely different. By the fourth century, we find that there was a Roman emperor that converted to Christianity, the Emperor Constantine. And he brought together the power of the state and the structure of the church, and this created a combination with the ability to create order by squelching dissent. You see, the writer of Revelation 6 by that time had his horse and bow and was set to conquer. And things changed from that time forward. It's a fascinating story, but it is one that is right out of the pages of the Bible in terms of the prophecies and the warnings that took place. We have a booklet that I'd like to offer to you at this time that helps, I think, to take you deeper into the book of Revelation, into the subject of prophecy, and especially into the subject of spiritual deception. So it's a booklet that we've offered many times, the book of Revelation Unveiled. You can go online right now to beyondtoday.tv to read or to order your free copy of this book, or call toll-free 1-888-886-8632. The book of Revelation Unveiled is a fascinating story that will take you especially into sections dealing with the story of the church, God's church in prophecy, Satan's war against the people of God, and most importantly, perhaps the last chapter that talks about the everlasting kingdom of God. The book of Revelation Unveiled, very important book that can help you to understand more about the spiritual deception that Christ himself warned about out of the pages of the book of Revelation. 1-888-886-8632 or online at beyondtoday.tv. We've talked about the past. We've talked about ancient history in this part. Let me take you for a minute to a more modern topic, because spiritual deception is not just something for the Bible. It was not just something of the ancient world. Spiritual deception is something that is also very much a part of our world today. I read all kinds of articles that talk about religion and various philosophical, spiritual ideas that people have. There was a recent article in Newsweek magazine that talked about the idea of what we believe and why we believe in regard to spirituality and various concepts. This particular article started off by talking about a man who believed in the idea of reincarnation. That, in other words, he had come back to life after having lived a previous life. In this particular case, this doctor, very educated, scientifically minded individual, believed that he was actually the reincarnation of President John Adams, the second president of the United States. That he was John Adams reincarnated in a modern life, in a modern world as a doctor. And it starts off with that idea, and it goes into, in this article, other differing ideas that people have about the paranormal, about spiritism, about ideas of ghosts or of angels. And it makes the point that even if you don't believe in that, a lot of people do. In fact, a lot of people believe in reincarnation or some type of extra extra-physical, spiritual, paranormal experience in today's world. The article says that if you don't believe in reincarnation, then the odds are that at least you have felt a ghostly presence behind you in an empty house, or that you've heard loved ones speak to you after they passed away, or that you have a lucky shirt, or that you can tell when a certain person is about to text you, or when someone unseen is looking at you. If you've never had a paranormal experience such as these and believe in none of the things that science says do not exist except as tricks played upon the gullible, then you are in a lonely minority. According to periodic surveys, fully 90% of Americans say they have experienced such things or believe they exist. More than 90% of people believe that there is something beyond this world, there is something spiritual, there is something paranormal, whether it's reincarnation, life after death, people speaking from the grave, ideas such as that, and ghosts and angels. Of course, other articles such as this one talk about angels and spiritual ideas that people have about angels. And, you know, in these concepts, there is a play off of things that are true. You see, the Bible does speak about angels. There are, in reality, angels. The Bible talks about good angels and bad angels and a spirit world that does exist beyond this physical world, this physical life. But the truth of the angels as being messengers that indeed are servants sent by God to aid man, that's not always the story that's told in popular culture. Take the idea of reincarnation and this individual here who believes that he is a reincarnation of John Adams. Reincarnation, the idea that you're going to live again in a future life as a different person or as a different creature, as some might twist the idea, is really just a clever deception. It's a step off of the truth because the Bible does say that you will live again. It does talk about another life beyond this life. And it does show the purpose of that life and how and when that will come to pass. The Bible does talk about a resurrection. But the truth and what popular opinion, popular culture, popular paranormal psychology or science purport to teach and believe is nowhere near what the pages of your Bible teach about life and death and what happens beyond, about the spirit world and about angels. That's why, as that scripture that I read from the Apostle John in 1 John 4 and verse 1, where it says, to test the spirits, whether they are of God, that is so important in this whole subject, in this whole matter of understanding life, understanding spirituality, understanding God's purpose and God's plan, what He has in mind for you, understanding what happens after death. The truth is different from what the popular theology, the popular traditions, and certainly our popular culture teaches us. When we come back, we're going to discuss this topic even further with our Beyond Today panel. There's a lot more to go into and certain questions I'm sure that you will have and do have as a result of this discussion. Stay with us, watch this word, and we'll be right back.
What is the meaning of the book of Revelation? Its mysterious images, its beasts, its catastrophes, its demonic traps of deception. Find out by calling toll-free 1-888-886-8632 or go to beyondtoday.tv for your free copy of the Book of Revelation Unveiled. Find out where history, global politics, and global religion in control of the world system are leading us all. See how world events are exactly described in the story flow of the Book of Revelation in your Bible. Decode the images of the beast as the scrolls of Revelation open before your eyes. Understand how even Christianity will dissolve as the world system explodes in religious-inspired violence. Understand all this by calling toll-free 1-888-886-8632. That's 1-888-886-8632. Or go to beyondtoday.tv.
While the news about the Middle East seems to get worse, you can get understanding of where it's going in your free subscription to the Good News magazine. See why Jerusalem will remain at the center of the news in articles that regularly keep you up to date in the direction of our world. Call toll-free 1-888-886-8632. That's 1-888-886-8632 or go to beyondtoday.tv for your free subscription to the Good News magazine.
And we're back to Beyond Today. Our program today is Deception Wears a Pretty Dress. We're talking about the subject of spiritual deception, how we are all impacted by it in our modern world. During the break, you saw an offer for the Good News magazine. This will come along free when you order the booklet on Revelation that is being offered today. The Good News magazine is offered 6 times a year. Covers many different articles, types of articles dealing with spiritual issues such as marriage, Bible teaching, Bible prophecy. You'll want to get this coming into your home every other month, 6 times a year. It's free of charge. I'm joined at this time with the Beyond Today panel, Gary Petty and Steve Myers, both hosts on Beyond Today. Gentlemen, we're in this issue of spiritual deception. We're talking about religion, and people get very emotional. Why is it that religion triggers such emotional responses with people today?
Well, when we talk about religion or spirituality, we realize that when we look at the Scripture, all human beings are made in the image of God. And since we were made in the image of God, we have both intellect, because God is intellect, and we have emotions. God has emotions. And when we talk about then our spirituality, our beliefs, our religious beliefs, we're talking about the very core of who we are as human beings. So when we deal with that core, we're going to defend it. And when we defend it, we're going to defend it emotionally.
Yeah, you talk about defending things. There's that old thing, you don't talk about religion or politics because they go right to the heart and core of who we are. And so we want to protect ourselves. We want to defend ourselves. And the first thing oftentimes is feelings. And so we deal with feelings first, and then we begin to think and have reason with regard to different things that we're faced with.
Mm-hmm. Admitting you're wrong is really a difficult situation. Oh. Any of us to admit something, we're in error on anything.
And for any human being to grow, for all of us to grow, we have to be examining ourselves to see where we're wrong. And it is so hard. It's so hard because we have to accept intellectually we're wrong and emotionally we're wrong. And there's just something built in us to defend ourselves. And emotionally we defend ourselves.
If you were brought up in a certain way, this is how I learned. This is how I grew up. I was taught this my whole life.
Our parents taught us.
Right.
Our grandparents taught us.
And so then, boy, I'm going to defend that because, you know, that's the American way in a sense that we want to do that. So it becomes very close to our heart when we have to face the fact that we could be deceived.
We like to think we're so objective, but we're not. We're subjective beings.
Well, I think your point about that's how you grow. Yeah. When you can admit that you've made a mistake, then that opens the opportunity for growth. Right. If we look at what people believe, what people believe in terms of Christian belief or any other world religion, philosophical belief, what are some examples, especially among Christians, of things that Christians might be deceived about today?
You talked about the paranormal before.
Yes.
And it was just a reminder to me that so many times we're taken in by the things that are popular. You know, the television programs that are out there, whether you're touched by an angel or the medium or things like that, we can begin to be affected by that. If we're not really sure of what the Bible teaches, those kinds of things can have an influence that sometimes we don't even see. We don't even realize how it's affecting what we believe, but yet it is touching us in a way that is non-biblical. And in that way, we can be deceived into believing something popular rather than something that is biblical.
Well, you're talking about this gentleman who thinks he's the reincarnation of a president.
Yes.
One of the great deceptions that is in part of all of Christianity is something that would surprise most people. If you go back to the Hebrew Scriptures, and scholars, whether they're Protestant or Catholic or Jewish, agree with this, when you look at the Hebrew Scriptures, the immortality of the soul is not taught in the, what we call the Old Testament. A very careful reading of the New Testament shows they did not believe, Jesus and the apostles, in the immortality of the soul. What they believed is that a person died and then they were resurrected at a future time. Now, 2,000 years later, the immortality of the soul is just part of culture. It's part of the mainstream Christianity. And so people believe it. And yet a careful reading and a looking at history would find out that that's actually a deception. It's not what Jesus taught, and it's not what the Bible teaches.
Boy, and the amazing thing about that is oftentimes we define Christianity by that. You're not a Christian if you don't believe in the immortality of the soul. You're not a Christian if you don't believe in the Trinity. And you're not a Christian if you don't believe these things. And that's just plain wrong when it comes to
what contrary to the Scripture.
Absolutely. So you talk about being deceived. Boy, it can sound good, it can look good, but it can be totally wrong.
But all three of us would agree that someone should not just arbitrarily give up their beliefs. You should not change what you believe is your religious beliefs, your spiritual beliefs, until you prove it. You must go look at the Scripture and see what the Scripture says. So you don't change for change's sake. You change because you're searching for truth.
How does a person come out of spiritual deception?
Well, you first have to accept that your subjectivity can't be trusted. You can't trust your feelings. You have to accept that you don't know all the truth. In other words, you're on a journey. This life is a journey in search of truth. and truth is objective. It comes from outside ourselves. Once you accept that, you have to say, where do I go? So secondly, you need to go to your Creator and pray and ask God, help me to understand truth, reality. God is the one who determines reality. He determines what truth is. And then thirdly, you get into the Bible. You look into this book right here, and you find out what God says is the truth.
Now, of course, that supposes that this is the Word of God. This is a standard.
Well, that's why you have to pray first. You have to go to the Creator and ask Him to take you.
It is a standard, though. If you believe Jesus Christ is your Savior, that's exactly what He said. He said that we're sanctified by the truth, and He said God's Word is truth, plain and simple. He didn't make all these gray areas. This is the truth. The Bible is the truth. And so if people have been challenged today, well, they need to step back and say, well, is that right or not? And if we're willing to ask questions, sometimes questions are the best way to face an issue. Is this really the truth? Is it really true? Well, get to your Bible. Study the Word of God. That is truth. And then verify for yourself what it actually says. So you need an open mind. Mm-hmm. But to go along with that, you need your open Bible. And have both of those together. And then you'll be able to verify what the truth really is.
Yeah. Getting back to the idea of the Bible as a standard, do you think people today are afraid to accept the Bible as the standard of truth?
Oh, yes.
In a world of such diffused deception?
Yes, because if this is the standard and you accept this as the standard, your life must change. Because this brings about a changed life as you enter into a relationship with the Father, with Jesus Christ, your life will change. So yes, people are afraid.
You have to then come to the point where you will accept that the God who speaks through this book has a hold on your life.
And you must obey it.
Yeah. Absolutely. You've got to have a certain humbleness to say, you know, this is my idea isn't just as good as your idea. God's idea is what's best for mankind, and I need to follow that.
And that is the first step out of deception. Deception does wear a very pretty dress, and it's a hard one to take off, but you can do it. This program is designed to help you accomplish that. Stay with us. We'll be back for a final word.
What is the meaning of the mysterious images in the book of Revelation, of beasts, of catastrophes, and demonic traps of deception? As the scrolls in Revelation open, you can understand how even today's Christianity will dissolve in global religious violence. Discover this and more by calling toll-free 1-888-886-8632. That's 1-888-886-8632. Or go to beyondtoday.tv for your free copy of The Book of Revelation Unveiled.
Are you stumbling around in a dark wood looking for a light to get out? What I really mean is, are you stumbling in a world of spiritual darkness looking for truth and meaning to guide your life toward God's purpose for you? You can find your way out of the darkness. Let God's Word, His truth, become the light that shows you the right path forward. Begin to examine your assumptions about religion. Open your Bible and examine what you believe and what you practice against what God says is truth. Spiritual confusion and deception is woven throughout today's world. Don't think that you are immune to its subtleties. God has made known the true understanding about life, its grand purpose, and the way to eternal life. Keep listening to this program to learn about your part in that great plan. For Beyond Today, I'm Darris McNeely.
For the free literature offered on today's program, go online to beyondtoday.tv. Please join us again next week on Beyond Today.